This is 89.1 WEMU, and it is a Thursday, and that means it's time for Cinema Chat. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside the president and executive director of Marquee Arts in Ann Arbor. Russ Collins is here with all the news of what's playing at the Michigan and State Theaters and at the multiplexes as well. It's time for this week's edition of Cinema Chat. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's good to be here and talk about movies everywhere, but especially at the State and Michigan Theater. So Tarot is opening up at your local multiplex. It's directed by Hannah Hallberg and Spencer Cohen, and it's about a group of friends who recklessly violate the sacred rules of tarot. I haven't read that list of rules. I didn't know there was a sacred rule, but it certainly makes the conceit. You know, there seems to be kind of a magical connection to the profundity of the universe in tarot cards, according to a lot of people, as opposed to just mathematical chance and things like that.
You're never supposed to use somebody else's deck, apparently. I guess that's the rule.
And many of the sacred rules, and they obviously violated them in a profound way. Well, anyway, by violating these sacred rules, they unknowingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within the cursed cards. One by one, they come face to face with fate and end up in a race against death to escape the future foretold in their readings.
All righty.
So, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen lots of scary, you know, horror film kind of dynamics and.
A lot of jump scenes
involving cards. You might be surprised to learn. So, well, we've got the 23rd Ann Arbor Jewish Film Festival that's playing between May 5th, this Sunday, and May 26th. Now, most of these films are being shown online, so you can go to the website for the film festival.
Yes, 16 of them are online,
yes,
right?
16 are online. Seven will be done in a theater at the State, and three of them are only being offered with a theatrical screening. But go to the Ann Arbor Jewish Community Center website, and you can get the full lowdown and get your tickets and all of that kind of stuff. Cinetopia, as we've talked about, is coming up, and we actually just announced a whole bunch of films that are going to be playing in Cinetopia, so you can look forward to that.
Oh, fun.
Nick's going to be on in a couple
Nick
of
Alderink,
weeks,
yeah,
and he'll give you the whole lowdown on Cinetopia. It's getting pretty darn exciting, everything coming together.
And making Nick, a Mernis keep, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, boy, he has worked his cinema fingers off. So that's coming up again, June 13th through 23rd. Passes are available right now. We announced the first tranche of films, and so you can go check that out on our website, marqueearts.org or mishtheater.org. I mean, both of them will
It'll get
you to the
there.
Same place. Absolutely. And then opening this week, Fall Guy. Now, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt just have
a
certain kind of magic. They were both in the Barbenheimer film, Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer, and Ryan Gosling, of course, is Ken in the Barbie film. And the critical consensus on this is, you know, this could be very silly. It's based on a 1980s TV show.
Yeah, with Lee Majors, right?
Very loosely based, which makes it more fun, I think. And Emily Blunt plays the director and the former very serious relationship that the Ryan Gosling character had with the Emily Blunt character, Ryan Gosling being the fall guy, the stunt dude. And so the critical consensus of this has been really strong, and you could just tell the chemistry between Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling in some of their TV appearances. But the critical consensus is, with action, comedy, romance, and a pair of marvelously matched stars, the fall guy might be the rare mainstream movie with something to entertain everybody. So.
Well, they are both chock full of charisma, and both are charming, and working together, they seem to have found their way.
Yeah, and besides the kind of stunt things that happen, which are, you know, like, wow, that guy's falling from a really high distance, and oh my goodness, they've crashed through this and done that. You also get the a thriller kind of dynamic to it, because his character, besides being a stuntman, who was recovering from a very bad injury and also recovering from his broken heart with the relationship
which
with Emily
Blunt, kind of
he keeps trying to rekindle it. So do they rekindle it? You have to go to the movie to find out. But he's also charged with tracking down a missing movie star who actually he's a stunt double for. And it looks terribly silly, very tense, and wonderful. So Fall Guy opens today everywhere, but you can go down to the State Theater and see it. And, you know, on a beautiful spring day, there's nothing better than getting out downtown. The People's Joker is also opening this week at the State Theater, and it is opening tomorrow. And this film premiered not at the 2023, but at the 2022 Toronto Film Festival. They had to work out some rights issues, I think, with the character depictions, which are taken from the Batman comics. But the critical consensus of this is very strong, 95% positive reviews. The People's Joker uses classic characters in impressively inventive ways, working with a familiar framework to tell an invigorating story of self-acceptance. And the main character is a transgender woman who plays the Joker slash Harlequin, and it's really witty and weird and fun. So
I definitely like witty and weird.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of Batman comics, you probably want to go check this out. If you're not a fan of comic book movies, you want to go see this as well. So the People's Joker opens on Friday, May the 3rd, and then. Disney is re-releasing the episode one of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
Just trying to ruin my summer before it starts.
Yeah, well, you know, the writer's strike kind of negatively affected Disney worse than anybody, I think. They're doing a 2-week re-release of this. It's the 25th anniversary of episode one. Now, episode one actually isn't the first Star Wars film. Of course, all Star Wars geeks know this.
It's the first prequel.
It's the first prequel. So, right. Episode 4 was the first Star Wars film. And it was labeled that when it came out. So this film has Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson and Natalie Portman, Jake Lloyd, and Kenny Baker and Anthony Daniels, who are R2-D2 the golden robot. So anyway, if you're a fan of Star Wars, you're definitely going to want to check these out. So George Lucas directed and wrote this particular film, and he had been off of directing for 22 years before he came back to this. Now, it's interesting because he's a really great writer, but he's kind of a dispassionate director.
That's why he's kind of giving it up, right?
Well, he's...
I mean, he sold off the franchise.
He's not great with actors, but he's great with the visuals and the setups and all of those kind of things. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. The film, you know, has survived extremely well, but it was pretty well criticized when it first came out, as almost all the Star Wars films were. But that really resonates deeply. And so what we're doing is we're doing this 2-week run on episode one, The Phantom Menace of Star Wars. And then we're going to show the other five films that follow. So next week, on the 9th, a week from today, we're going to do episode 2 of Star Wars, Attack of the Clones, and then on Friday the 10th, on Thursday the 9th, and then Friday the 10th, we're going to do episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, which is the first trilogy, the prequel trilogy, as it were. And then episode 4, which was the original Star Wars film, A New Hope, on Saturday, May 11th.
And did they call it A New Hope when it first opened? Because that
it was, did.
I did go see that movie, which is how I determined I didn't like Star Wars. But I don't recall it being called A New Hope.
Well, I believe it
Star
was.
Wars.
And it was not. Our Star Wars authority, Matt, said that. But when George Lucas thought of it, he thought about all 9 when he first did it. And it was like he couldn't get that much in, so it focused on what ended up being episode 4. And then The Empire Strikes Back, which was written by a University of Michigan graduate, Lawrence Kasdan, he also directed it, is considered to be the best Star Wars film by most critics and people.
That was the fifth in the series.
That's right. That's going to be on May 18th. And then on the 25th, Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
And then can we be done?
Well, there's still three more later. So stay tuned to see if we're going to show the rest of them. And there's a Star Wars bonus film, but we'll talk about it next week.
All right.
So True Romance is the late night film that we're playing this week or tonight. And then tomorrow, Escape from New York, which is a John Carpenter film with Kurt Russell and Donald Pleasance. And yeah, it's kind of
I actually
not
enjoyed
missed.
That. It was, you know, not a great movie, but it was a fun movie.
Oh, no, it was quite seminal. Set in Detroit, by the way. Macbeth with Ralph Fiennes and Indra Varma is going to play tonight at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is a British play recreation of that film, so go check it out. Jewish Film Festival, again, opens at the Michigan Theater on Sunday at 2. Lots to go see, and we'll see you downtown at the movies.
And all of you can enjoy Star Wars. I'll let you have that to yourself.
Well, it deeply resonates with across the population.
Indeed, it does. And, clearly in the minority.
It's more of a myth than a movie. So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, the myth, the legend that is Russ Collins. He'll be back again next week with another edition of Cinema Chat. We thank you for listening to Cinema Chat this week here on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU FM, Ypsilanti.
Ta-ta from the Force.